Welcome to the Humanitarian Leadership Academy podcast, Fresh Humanitarian Perspectives. Are you a humanitarian who's curious about coaching and mentoring, but not sure if it's right for you or perhaps how to get started? I'm Carmen Parkinson, Communications and Marketing Advisor at the HLA, and today I'm delighted to be joined by Charlotte Balfour-Poole, Head of Coaching at the HLA, and she's going to provide her expert steer and guidance on this very topic. So Charlotte, welcome to the podcast, and thanks for taking the time to speak with me today.
Thanks, Carmen. Great to be here. Really, really excited.
Brilliant. So could you start by briefly introducing yourself to our listeners?
Yeah, of course. I'm Charlotte Balfour-Poole and I'm the Head of Humanitarian Coaching at the Humanitarian Leadership Academy. And I'm based about 2 hours from London on a farm in Wiltshire.
Well, that's lovely. Sounds super idyllic. So thanks for being here today. For our listeners who are unfamiliar with the concepts, could you explain in very simple terms what coaching and mentoring is, please?
Yeah, sure. Obviously, coaching and mentoring is slightly different, and often people merge the two. But fundamentally, if people think about coaching in terms of sort of sports, in terms of getting better at something and performance related coaching and being sort of told in a very directive style what they should do and what they should improve. Well, our philosophy is a little bit different. It kind of aligns with that in terms of thinking about changes, thinking about improving, and also about enhancing performance. But fundamentally, you know, coaching enables colleagues to better develop their thinking and their own expertise. And really having a coach is actually non-directive. So for us, a coach won't tell you what to do, but they will act as that really kind of somebody who's a real sounding board for you. They'll ask you very kind of pertinent questions to encourage you to find your own solutions, but also to kind of challenge your own perceptions and your own belief systems. And that might be both in the workplace, but also recognizing that you're part of a broader system. So also thinking about your life more broadly. And again, then being very concrete about what things you can do differently to move forward and be helping you to kind of achieve some of those objectives that you might be getting stuck on or tripping over. And then sort of mentoring is a little bit different because for mentoring, you're very much with somebody who's actually going to be providing you perhaps some advice at times and giving you some kind of more direction, I would say. So I hope that kind of explains the subtle sort of difference between the two. And again, you might kind of, you know, move from one into the other within a conversation. But again, it's what the client really wants. So, you know, I need advice on X might be an example of what somebody would say.
That's great. Thanks, Charlotte. No, that is really helpful. I think it was really useful what you said there about the differences, the subtle differences about between coaching and mentoring, potentially being directive and non-directive, because I'm a bit unclear on that myself. So that was really useful. So could we go back a bit in time and ask you about your own journey into the world of coaching and mentoring?
It's interesting. When I think about this, I think I've always sort of taken a coaching approach in my leadership. I've got a deep-seated both belief and a separate one, a frustration. So my deep-seated belief is that, you know, people have an incredible amount of resource within them and often have their own solutions within them. And I guess my frustration is where I see people getting stuck and kind of, you know, not achieving their potential or not achieving their best, feeling unmotivated. All of those kind of things. So I guess there was always sort of an intrigue about coaching and mentoring. And I guess I've, you know, benefited from mentors throughout my career and also been a mentor for a variety of people. I was also lucky enough to have a coach, probably about 6 to 7 years ago, who was absolutely transformational. And it was a time when I thought I was going to leave the humanitarian sector. I worked in education, humanitarian education. And kind of thought that I was, you know, I was not going to continue to pursue that technical path. And I went and undertook a master's in educational psychology to perhaps become an educational psychologist. And it was all thanks to that coach that kind of helped me identify those next steps. And I think even just going through that master's gave me that joy back of really being passionate about education and early childhood development. So I actually came back into the humanitarian sector, and then kind of became very interested in coaching, and was lucky enough to undertake a postgraduate certificate in coaching, which was just transformational for me. And then I think what I really wanted to do was get everyone else to benefit from that. And I often saw coaching as something very sort of elitist, so only reserved for, executive directors or leaders. And this, at the same time within the humanitarian sector, we kept talking about localization and we keep talking about all of these concepts. So I was like, what is something really practical and tangible that actually can drive that transformation in terms of localization? And for me, it was about actually offering that space for and time for people to think. And I believe that, I talk about the democratization of coaching and really making sure that everyone can have access to coaching and mentoring opportunities. And often it's the people who, would consider themselves perhaps early career or earlier career that actually need that support more than somebody at an executive level, because they'll have had, a lot more opportunities and experience. So yeah, for me it was a kind of no-brainer, something I'm incredibly passionate about, and something that I really almost, I call it like sort of sprinkling magic dust. I want everyone to have that opportunity and have that access.
I love that. Thank you, Charlotte. I think it's so inspiring to hear how your own coaching experience it came out. It sounded like it came at a real juncture. It was it was a real inflection point in your professional journey and opened up these doors for you personally and professionally, bringing you to a point where you're almost evangelical, if you like, about bringing the benefits for everyone, not just the people at the most senior levels in an organization. Because some people listening might think, oh, I perceive it as quite a something for people in the corporate world or people, taking MBAs, the C-suite executives, etc. And obviously there are benefits for this group of people, but like you've highlighted, there's everybody else can benefit as well. So thank you for highlighting that.
Yeah, and maybe come on just to pick up on that,
Sure.
because I think as well it kind of links to, I call it leadership coaching, and then people say, oh, well, I'm not in a leadership position. And again, people think of themselves in a kind of, hierarchical sense of leadership. But actually, again, thinking, about the principles of kind of coaching, everybody is a leader wherever they might be. You might be in a hierarchical CEO position, but actually, you have an ability to make change and take action wherever you sit. And I think coaching and mentoring can be incredibly powerful agents to kind of help get over some of those perceptions and that kind of, I think sometimes we limit ourselves in terms of what we think we're capable of or what we are, almost, I'm using inverted commas, which you can't see, but that kind of inverted commas of, permission. But actually, like, you have more. And again, thinking about like the complexity of the world that we live in, things are not as simple as they used to be in terms of, it's not step A equals step B. We work in much more ecosystemic ways, linking with others across the globe. We're interconnected. There are dependencies. And so again, like thinking about how do we unlock that potential in everyone, wherever they might be, whatever role they might be doing, to be really getting the best out of themselves and achieving their true potential. So yeah, I think it's such a transformative power. And again, it's not often until you experience that yourself you kind of see that kind of unfold.
That's fantastic. I love how passionate you are about this, and it really comes across. So thank you for sharing. You've already touched on this in your it, just now, but could you highlight what the relevance of coaching and mentoring for humanitarians and some of the potential benefits?
Yeah, definitely. So I think you mentioned this, that coaching, is often seen as reserved for kind of businesses or, about productivity and the kind of improving that. One of the things that I've noticed throughout my career in the humanitarian sector is that, obviously we have a humanitarian imperative to act quickly. and to be responsive. Now, there's a really subtle difference between being responsive and reactive. And I think, you know, I'm generalizing and I'm thinking about, first phase humanitarian responses or sudden onset responses, where definitely you're going to be reactive. But I think what's happened is that's kind of spilled over into, what we're now seeing are a lot of protracted crises. We take Syria, that's, a 12-year conflict. We look at Ukraine, how that's dragged out. And humanitarians are still acting as if they're in that first phase response. So I think coaching can be an incredibly powerful tool to give people that space and that time to think and to make better decisions based on that thinking rather than just rush in. And there's a lot of studies that have looked on kind of the return on investment between coaching. And there's kind of evidence that there's increased productivity, enhanced relationships, job satisfaction, job retention, much lower stress, and which is absolutely key, especially for humanitarians who are working in some very, very challenging conditions. And we talk a lot about well-being in the sector, but this is a really simple way that we can change dialogue and change spaces for people to feel both psychologically safe, but also to plan and even to kind of calm the parasympathetic nervous system within us, which I think, for humanitarians, that's often heightened for such a long time that then that pattern stays and people, don't even know how to kind of switch off or to, go into the different, what I call different modes. And I think you and I were, talking earlier about the interruptions that we face in the modern world. It's almost, I think it's something like, on average, every 8 seconds we're interrupted, our thinking is interrupted, the flow of our conversation is interrupted, people are giving us advice, people are finishing our sentences. So coaching can provide that space for people to really process some of that thinking. And I think for humanitarians that couldn't come sooner. And to kind of give people, people talk to me about their coaching experiences. It feels so privileged to be having this space. And I say to people, how is thinking privileged space? And surely as humanitarians, whose imperative is to be responsive and to act, means acting thoughtfully, means, dealing with complexity, navigating that needs to be done in a calm, and sensible kind of manner. So yeah, I think it couldn't be more needed. And I think we've seen that as well from the demand that we've, seen anecdotally, but also the requests that I'm getting for, more individual coaching, more team coaching, whatever it might be. So I'm not saying it's the silver bullet, but I think it's an incredibly powerful tool. And again, like, it's not just about everyone being a, professional coach. That's not the path, but it's around how do we also support everyone to have those core skills, and how do we therefore create a coaching culture within the humanitarian sector, and that's my kind of top line goal. If we could create a coaching culture within the humanitarian sector, I think that would be absolutely transformative in terms of changing some of the way the system functions.
That's fantastic. Thank you, Charlotte. I found that really fascinating to hear, particularly how you made that connection really clear to me, and the relationship between coaching and mentoring and the benefits for well-being. I never really thought about it through that lens before, and how it can cultivate a positive working culture, supporting humanitarians who are obviously working in the most challenging of circumstances and continue to do so day in, day out. So offering that space to think, to talk, to ponder and reflect is a luxury that I take for granted myself. So it's wonderful that these mechanisms can provide that formalized way to enable, well, maybe obviously sometimes it might not be completely formalized, but it carves out that time and that space to talk about this and explore this with a trusted person. So I thought that was really interesting to hear you highlight and emphasize those benefits there.
Yeah, and I guess that's the kind of, the longer term shift. It's not going to happen overnight, but you used the word luxury there. Like, it shouldn't be a luxury. It shouldn't be for the privileged few. It should be part and parcel of our way of being. But again, the rise of modernity and the kind of, speed of things that we kind of demand and want has kind of slowed down that time to think, that time to develop ideas, and create and nurture those relationships. So, yeah, I think it is really, really key.
That's brilliant. So I'm sure people listening have really caught on to the benefits if they weren't familiar with coaching and mentoring before, after hearing you speak so passionately and so eloquently about all of these benefits and how it can really help humanitarians at an individual and systemic level. How can they go about accessing coaching and mentoring through the HLA, and what kind of services can we provide?
Yeah, so the first thing I'd say is we do have a website which has got a whole host of resources on there, so we can share the links after this as part of this podcast. We can share the links to that, but I think that's a good place to kind of signpost people. We are incredibly fortunate. We've built two pools of very talented coaches. So we have what I call our pro bono pool of coaches, and those are coaches who are not necessarily from the sector, but are either very skilled and experienced coaches as their main profession, or they've kind of come to it later in life. And we also have a lot of people who are sort of end career or near retirement, or who have retired, who are really passionate about the work that we do and kind of want to give back. So we have some incredible people within that pro bono pool. And one of the things that I realized was that we had a need for sort of, people who kind of understand some of those humanitarian nuances. And again, this is where coaching and mentoring kind of flux. It's not rigid, it's not one or the other. And some of our humanitarians were sort of saying, I really need someone who just gets what it's like to lead a humanitarian response. So off the back of that, we built a humanitarian coaching pool. And all of those people have been through a postgraduate certificate in coaching, have gained quite a considerable amount of experience and continue to be part of, they have supervision and access to lots of resources. And our coaching across the sector. And then we have, so basically people can access individual coaching, and then I will match to either somebody from either of those pools. So that's one of the key ways. And there's more details around that on our website, that you can find there in terms of accessing that. And we do have an email address as well, coachingandmentoring@savethechildren.org.uk. So people can find out more there. And the other thing is that we do offer bespoke courses. So we're running a course in a couple of months for some of our leaders in Turkey and Syria to develop their core coaching skills. And that will be about, getting those skills into the sector. And one of the other things is around language. So a lot of our coaches in both the pro bono and the humanitarian coaching pool are, predominantly English speaking. So one of the things I'm trying to do is diversify that so that we can have coaching in your mother tongue, because again, that ability to, feel really confident, to be able to articulate yourself in your mother tongue is kind of, really, really critical. So getting those skills up and running. And so we're offering a whole range of kind of bespoke courses, different courses. We've got a postgraduate certificate that I mentioned that runs annually, and again, more details of that are on our website. And then we also run on the mentoring side. We have an across-organizational mentoring program that I'm sure many of our listeners are probably already involved in. But there's more details of that also on our website, and that's a phenomenal opportunity to connect, peers and people. Often people understand themselves and say, "Oh, I'm not sure I can be a mentor." I'd really encourage people to think about, how you could be giving back and offering up those skills and that support to others. And kind of linked to that, we also have a Women in Leadership Network. Again, more details of that can be found on our website. And the purpose of that is to provide women with a safe space to connect and come together. And we also offer peer mentoring through that program. Which is a fabulous opportunity for women to, find somebody who's kind of either been through a similar career journey or is going through similar experiences, to be connected with somebody who might be on completely different side of the world. So there's lots of opportunities. There's lots more that we want to do in this area, and really, as I say, democratize that, offer that out more broadly. So if, yeah, people are interested, have a look at the website, and there's lots more there.
That's amazing that through these programs and schemes that you're able to bring together hundreds, is it hundreds, thousands maybe, of humanitarians around the world together through mentoring and coaching relationships so that they're able to benefit both in person and through virtual networks. So that's absolutely fantastic. I think the work that you're doing for women in leadership is incredible as well and really empowering. I've been able to join some of the webinars as well and dip in and hear some of the wonderful pearls of wisdom and life experiences from some really inspiring women. So that's absolutely fantastic. So again, I'm sure people listening go, oh, this is wonderful. I do definitely want to be involved. But what's the next step? What actually, I'm a bit worried maybe or anxious about what a mentoring or coaching relationship might look like in practice. So I wonder if you could sort of take us behind the scenes and explain some kind of common approaches or tools or techniques that coaching and mentoring relationships that might utilize.
Sure, and it's just made me think actually of something, in terms of that first step as well. So, hopefully this podcast kind of helps raise some of that awareness for, what that looks like. But I think the other thing is to kind of, speak to your peers, speak to your line managers, ask other people what's their experience of coaching and mentoring, because again, for everyone, it's very different. You might have different reasons why you want a coach or a mentor. So I'd say, yeah, start that conversation, and again, by doing that, that kind of raises the awareness around creating that culture of this is something desired that we'd want. So on a very practical level, a coaching relationship would normally span across sort of six sessions. That might be one a month, or one every 2 weeks. And what usually happens is somebody would fill in a coach a needs analysis, and that just highlights, what are the things that they're really struggling with or they want to work on, and then they'll be matched with somebody. And then as part of that journey, really, and it is very much a journey. I think, some people think quick fix, I'll get a coach and all my problems will be solved. But there's a lot of work on, understanding your own self, understanding like what are those patterns. I think I talked about this, before. That individual who's coming is the expert. So it's not your coach that's the expert, but that coach will provide that real space to listen to you with what I call beautiful attention and real kind of curiosity and respect, and provide a very kind of confidential, trusted space, enabling you to feel truly seen and heard, and not judged. I think is really, really important. So, again, it's not in your line management kind of chain. It's somebody completely out of that. And what often I find is, in those sessions, people will then, have they might be very in-depth discussions about a specific area, something that's holding them back, something that's happening for them at home that's impacting on their job. It might be a whole range of things that, again, that person coming for coaching wants to this understand and kind of kind of work through. The other thing is always kind of having a tangible action at the end of that session, and an awful lot of change will happen outside and in between those coaching sessions. And the coach the client will the coach will often then loop back to those and see what's happened, what's changed, how's that working. So yeah, it should be, sometimes I think people see it as daunting, as you said, and it's like, oh God, there's gonna be this spotlight on me. But actually, coaching is very playful and can be an incredibly creative and quite fun space, actually. So there might be a whole range of techniques. For example, I do some work with sort of some dolls to look at kind of where you fit in the system, brainstorming, mind mapping, creative techniques, depending on what works, and those will always be offered up very lightly and as an invitation. So yeah, it's and yeah, lots of fun. Bring that humor to those sessions. Bring your whole personality. It's not like you're, coming to be in a very rigid space. And again, I think where the, client is able to come to those sessions truly being themselves. And again, the skill of the coach is to create that space to creatively then learn, think, solve problems, generate ideas without any distractions or interruption is perhaps a luxury, because that's not always a given. But I would love us to have those kinds of conversations every day, that are, disruptive and provide that curiosity. So I hope that gives you a bit of a flavor. I mean, obviously it's hard to distill one, and I think we've talked about maybe we have a, another podcast in the future where we kind of roam on some of that. Would be it'd be really interesting to kind of, yeah, for people to observe that, because again, in the training that our coaches go through, a big part of that is what is seeing observed practice, and seeing what that looks like, holding that space, asking good questions, etc. So it might sound radical for some, it might sound terrifying, but I hope for most people, it's a golden opportunity, really.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Thanks so much for sharing those insights. That's it's really, really interesting to hear how it may play out in practice. I really like the phrase you use, beautiful listening. I'm going to try and incorporate that into my daily practice anyway. Yeah,
Yeah, there's a wonderful book by Nancy Klein. So she's written an awful lot on coaching, and that's the phrase that she uses,
Ah,
listening,
right.
beautiful attention.
Beautiful attention.
Yeah, and it's her book is called A Time to Think. Highly recommend it.
Right, it's on my list. Oh, that's fantastic. And I really liked how you described the playful elements, that you can bring in that creativity and that playfulness. I was just thinking about how educators in early years, it's sort of part of the mainstream curriculum to bring in learning through play. But unfortunately, sadly, we somehow lose this ability to do that as we move into adulthood. At least I found that anyway.
100%,
And
100%, and this is.
I'm here for it, to bring the sort of playfulness back into learning, for grown-ups, so to speak. So that's really encouraging, and hopefully listeners who might find that encouraging too, to that it's not this overly formal, formalized conversation where people are not necessarily being able to just be themselves. Yeah, so that's really great to hear. So thanks for sharing that.
And just on that, there's another. So one of our Pro Bono Network members has written a fabulous book actually on playfulness and coaching, by Stephanie Wheeler. And again, that's a great read. And I'm hoping that she's going to come in and do a bit of a workshop for us. And again, kind of build the skills of our coaches to bring that in. We have done an awful lot on kind of creative coaching as well. So yeah, it can open any route that anyone might want. And as you say, we're as humanitarians, the importance of, we're dealing with very serious issues, a lot of complexity in a complex world. And actually sometimes bringing in that lightness and that playfulness, as you say, we know that benefits children's learning and development, and we know it does for adults. So how do we offer that lightness and that kind of, Simon Weston talks about sort of re-enchantment for our humanitarians who at times I think feel they're part of a system that's very stuck. So I think playfulness can, yeah, be such a key way to unlock that. And I was speaking to a colleague the other day and just saying, we need to bring more joy back into the workplace. We're dealing with heavy issues, but let's bring more joy and that creativity back in.
Yeah, I love that. That's brilliant. So I wonder if you're able to share any success stories or examples of how coaching and mentoring have made a positive impact on individuals within the humanitarian sector.
Yeah, this is timely actually, because anecdotally I keep sort of receiving feedback from people saying, oh, I really want a coach. I've heard so and so said that it's been transformational. It's totally changed them. And so kind of what I'm doing at the moment is gathering some of that anecdotal evidence and actually getting some impact stories. And I recently got one of those from somebody who'd been on a really interesting journey actually, and I think had, real sense of kind of imposter syndrome, feeling very inadequate in a position that, she'd gone from a country position into a regional role in a very different region, and kind of feeling, she described it as sort of feeling very frozen and not able to kind of put one foot in front of the other. And again, like understanding what was behind that, like what was that limiting belief that was stopping her. And I mean, I think I've she won't mind me saying, but she's the quote on the bottom of my emails. And that's coaching is like someone telling you to reach for something inside yourself you didn't even know existed, which I think is a really powerful testimony to see, just how that can change your sense of being. So she talked about, gaining self-confidence, being more efficient in work, and developing better trust as well with colleagues who were remote, and not seeing herself as, less knowledgeable or as weaknesses, but again being able to draw on others more. And I think she also talked about the level of vulnerability in the sessions, and being able to be truly heard and have that kind of level of intimacy, both talking about professional and personal challenges. So yeah, I think there's so much I could say, and I hope we'll have much more impact data in due course that's kind of available, and some of these testimonies. And again, we talked about this, but it'd be great to get, some people who've benefited from coaching kind of describing their experience in their own words on this podcast. I'd love that.
Yeah, that would be absolutely fantastic. So you've already touched upon this. You've already mentioned the websites and Women in Leadership Network, etc. But I wonder if you can help sign our listeners to any resources online or in person for our listeners who may be interested in learning more about coaching or mentoring.
Yeah, there's so much out there, and there's so, there's a lot of different styles as well. So I think, the more you read, the more you discover, and it will kind of take you on a journey of, what feels right for you. So yeah, I would sort of start with a Google. I've mentioned a couple of books that are fabulous. There's a yeah that oh gosh, there's I feel like there's far too many for me to even list. And again, like as I kind of go down different, so I'm really interested in kind of systems, and constellation coaching. So there's a whole kind of load of literature around that. Gosh, yeah, I don't know that I could recommend, just one. Again, I'd probably signpost people to our website initially, and there's more resources on there, and we'll be putting, more links. I think actually that would be a really nice thing to have a kind of, different sort of reading lists of some of the books that I recommend. Yeah, that'd be a great idea actually to put that up there for
Yeah,
people.
absolutely. Yeah, we'll put Charlotte's recommended reading list in the show notes of this episode. Oh, that's brilliant. And sadly, we're coming to the end of our conversation for today. I've really loved hearing this introduction to coaching and mentoring. You've been so inspiring, and you definitely sell the benefits of engaging in coaching and mentoring for humanitarians. So, before we wrap up today, is there anything else you'd like to mention?
I mean, I think, if you're sitting on the fence, if you're not sure, I'm always open to kind of having more conversations with people. And also I think just to say that, behind me is an incredibly skilled network and some incredible people. So we're incredibly lucky to have, both the pro bono and the humanitarian coaching pool. And, I just sort of did a rough calculation of kind of how many coaching hours our internal humanitarian coaching pool is providing, and it was sort of 400 hours last year, which is just phenomenal because everyone in that pool is doing that on top of their jobs. And again, that shift from it being seen as an addition, but it being seen as something central to my role and central to my way of being. And I think, everyone that's sort of part of that or benefited from that says, it's changed me as a leader. It's changed the way I am, and I get that feedback from teams and peers that see that transformation. Once people have, had coaching, how it can, really change that in such a positive way.
That's amazing that you've been able to grow this coaching pool and community, so that people can feel the benefits across the Save the Children movement and beyond. So that's absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure that will just go from strength to strength in the coming months and years. So thanks so much for taking the time to speak with me today and for highlighting all of the benefits of coaching and mentoring for humanitarians and how they may be able to go on their own coaching and mentoring journeys. I'm sure you've inspired many people listening. So thanks once again, and thank you to our listeners for joining us for today's episode of Fresh Humanitarian Perspectives from the HLA.
Thanks, Kaman. It's been really, really great to talk to you. And yeah, I hope we've inspired lots of people, both to become coaches and to help us create this coaching culture.